Welcome to episode number 80, or maybe it's 79 or 80. A little bit of mix up last week. Sorry about that. Let's get going. Episode number 80, digital marketing from Asia on a shoestring budget.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody, for bearing with me through 80 episodes. It's been quite a ride so far. And, you know, I think some of you realized last week, if you downloaded it within the first day or two, that there was a little bit of mix up in the episode editing. There was a China trade show interview and topic, but instead we had Michael Lam, which is today's show, in the middle. So that was a mix up on my side. Boban, our editor, is awesome, and he caught it and edited a interview, and we fixed it and got it up within about 2 days. Usually I check all of these myself, but I've been just so busy with the book launch and all my consulting projects and everything, like being a dad. Honestly, pretty exhausting getting waking up more and more in the middle of the night. So we fixed it. So if you downloaded the wrong one within the first day or two and you want to delete that one and then re-download episode 79, and then listen to episode 80, which is the same interview as last week. So you got to flip that if you didn't do that already. But you guys have been awesome. I've had a few listeners reaching out and meeting some, like Angela, who's given reviews in the past and, you know, got me really motivated to keep pushing. There's going to be some changes with the show. So at the end, after the interview, I'm going to explain some ideas I have for changing the show. So stay tuned. And also, even though there was a mix-up, we still managed to get a 5-star review. So we'll read that off too. So let's get into today's interview. We have the topic of digital marketing in Asia, the strategies on a shoestring budget or a tight budget, and dealing with these different languages and cultures and multiple domains. So now, without further ado, let's turn it over to Michael Lam.
Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We are here with Michael Lam from CCW Global. Thank you for being here, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for coming on. And I'm glad we got connected for this show. We're going to be focusing today on digital marketing in the Asia Pacific region. You have a lot of experience with this. Maybe first give a little bit of background about yourself and your business.
Well, yeah, I mean, CCW Global was founded in May 2012 by Sam Cooper and Christopher Claridge Ware to basically bring the best traditions of insurance broking back into the Asian market. It was felt that there was a trend of insurance intermediaries in the region quoting on products based on commission levels or plans which were extremely easy for them to sell. And CCW was founded to basically provide high-level advice based on the needs of the customer. And this means that sometimes we might actually not be able to provide an appropriate solution, but it also means that the customer is not getting insurance coverage, which simply doesn't meet their requirements. I left my previous employer in November 2012, and after I left, I was invited to join CCW as marketing director. I started full-time in that position in January 2013, and we launched our fully functioning site in February of that year. And following the departure of founder Christopher back to the UK in the beginning of 2014, I was asked to step into the CEO role. And now I focus on regulatory and operational issues, in addition to continuing to spend a large bulk of my time with the marketing team.
Sure. So I liked it when we were talking about the show. You were, you know, originally going to do some insurance and talk about the product there. And then you suggested, you know, bootstrapping your for the listeners to bootstrap their business with digital marketing in the Asia market. So I think it's going to be a fun one. And so thank you again. So I think we'll start with the kind of classic, which we had talked about in email, is the content is king. I know we're both in the internet marketing world, and we've heard this in millions of articles, but I think it's definitely relevant still. Overused probably, but still maybe talk about it in the year 2015 and what you think of it.
Well, I mean, content is basically the lifeblood of the web. It doesn't really matter what industry or market segment you're in. Content is what will ultimately drive your success. But I think having said that, it's important to clarify what I mean about content. even in today's world, I think there's still a large degree of misunderstanding about the power of the internet and the function of a website. I speak to a large number of professionals and business owners who don't understand why their site isn't performing well, and even a number of C-level executives who are skeptical about the impact that their website has on the business. I mean, we have a website, but it isn't doing so well, so I don't think it's that important, is a refrain that I commonly encounter. And I think to understand why content is king, you really need to have an idea of what it is exactly you want your website to do. Are you looking to provide an educational resource, sort of along the lines of a Wikipedia, simply explaining your proposition? Are you looking for a social customer service type platform? Or are you looking to make transactions or generating leads? Understanding what it is you want out of your site will inform the type of content that you're generating. It's no good creating an educational resource when you actually want to sell a product, or focus solely on customer service when you're trying to educate the customer. Yes, in certain cases, blending those activities will be the formula for success, but your content is going to define what your site is all about. And I think really in 2015, you can't treat a website like a business card anymore. That's a very sort of old idea, where you put up a site and its only purpose is to sort of scream, we exist, we're here, and you've got an index homepage and maybe a contact us page and maybe a list of products on a single page that you're selling. I think users are increasingly demanding more. So as business owners and marketers, we need to give into their demands. So you need to define what it is that you want out of your site. And once you define that, whether it's branding, exposure, sales, whatever that might be that is important to your business, you need to then generate the content that meets that expectation. I mean, you as a business owner, you know more about your product than anyone else, and your content is really an opportunity to display that knowledge. Let's say your core business is manufacturing and selling pens, okay? And creating a website that says, we sell pens, is probably a great first start, but it's only a start. You then need to think about articles and pieces of content, whether that's videos, images, infographics, whatever the content might be, which identify the strength of that pen that you've created. How does that pen perform in a wet and humid environment like Hong Kong? What about dry and dusty environments like the Middle East? How about on the ocean, open ocean for maritime crews? What about up in the air for aviators, or simply at an office desk? From the starting point that this is a pen, I make pens, I want to sell you this pen, we've now created at minimum 5 additional pieces of content in whatever format you so desire, which can actually target niche audiences. I mean, a sailor might have had a terrible experience with a brand of pen while at sea and might be looking for a pen that works well while he's in that environment. Your content about how your pen works on the open ocean is going to help that individual find you. Is that content going to be useful for everyone? No, it's going to be useful for that one specific case. But now you've got a very specific audience who's going to understand your proposition that much better simply because you've taken the time to produce the content. And when we're looking at the algorithms that search engines use to rank websites, the quantity and the quality of fresh content on a domain plays a key role in pushing your page up the ranking pages. So not only are you potentially opening your site up to a demographic that you might not even consider targeting in the first place, you're also giving your site the love and attention that search engines like Google want to see. It's almost a self-contained cycle, but this can be really, really successful. I think a good example along this line can be seen with BlendTech. You know, the guys with the blender and the wonderful, like an iPhone 6 or something. Will the ordinary consumer want to blend his iPhone? Probably not, right? But will an iPhone user be interested in seeing how his phone blends? Based on the success of that company's YouTube content, the answer is a resounding yes. And if there ever is a product that doesn't blend, let's say your indestructible multi-environment pen that you've been producing content for, that is in and of itself more content. And because the blender hasn't failed to blend an item yet, it becomes even more powerful in context. So I think the beauty of content, especially written content, is that it's actually a very low investment activity. All it really takes is your time to write. And as a business owner, you should know more about your products and services than anyone else. And your content is your opportunity to share that knowledge at minimal cost outside of a time sink. Now, that's not to say that you should completely ignore the fundamentals like building a solid foundation for your website or going out and generating your links. But if you've got a successful content strategy, then you could almost say that it's like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come, because you're really targeting specific cases. Your content doesn't have to target everyone all the time. And if you're continuing to produce good content about your products and services in a different way each time, then you are actually going to be able to capture large portions of the market in areas that you probably didn't see in the first place.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great answer. Definitely. And so I think that leads into the second part of what we're talking about is the boring stuff makes money, which you had mentioned in our conversation. So I think BlendTech is fun, and I bet you everybody said, how can you make a fun piece of content about a blender? But, you know, I'd love for you to expand on this. I'm really curious too about boring stuff that makes money.
Well, I think it comes down to the fact that, okay, writing content is a low investment activity that can see you have success. But taking the time to write that content about the pen that performs in the wet and in the dry and in the ocean and up in the air, you're going to be talking about a lot of the same stuff in slightly different ways. And that can be incredibly dull, whether you're talking about, okay, how does this pen work in Africa? What are some of the unique selling points for someone who's in, let's say, Zimbabwe? Are those selling points going to be the same to someone who's in Thailand or Indonesia or Singapore? And you've got to really start to drill down on why would people in those locations, maybe you're going by industry, maybe you're going by education, do school children need this or professionals needing this? But a lot of the time you're going to come up against a repetition wall. And there's only so many different ways you can sort of end up taking that base content and applying it to the different audiences before you're really going to start banging your head against the wall. And it's going to get incredibly dull. But by doing that dull, continual, low-cost repetition, and I'm not saying just copy the content wholesale, because you're going to get slapped with a duplicate content penalty from Google, but you're writing it in a unique way to focus on those audiences. And that's going to take work, and it's not going to be terribly exciting. But then you're opening yourself up to those domestic audiences or those industry audiences or even those educational sectors that you're going to see the success from. And it's about doing that again and again and again and again. When we're looking at the search engine ranking factors for Google, two of the main algorithmic factors are the quality of content and the freshness of content. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the story of the guys who farm their content writing out to an agency. I think it was in the Philippines, and they said, "Look, we have this base content. Can you please spin this?"
Yeah, I've heard of
write the repetition, and they ended up with Salt Lake City being turned into sodium chloride water municipality. Now, you're not going to get many people coming to your website looking for sodium water chloride municipality. So you're going to have to really make an attempt to provide original content for that audience in a slightly different way. And not only will you have done that maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 times before, but you've now got the challenge of making it different. So it's about putting your nose to the grindstone and doing that repetition and forcing yourself to get stuck in with that repetition, hitting those demographics. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be exciting. But I think the beauty of written content, as I said before, is that it's a low-cost investment that gives you the opportunity to sort of evangelize your product, your services. And if you're really in touch with what you're trying to do as a business and what you're offering, then it's possible to do that. And I think with the nature of the internet, people like what resonates to them. So the other benefit to this is that I'm not just creating, here's my pen, let me sell it to everyone. I'm now targeting these different audiences who can, okay, that's why I need that pen. Will some of those aspects float across different markets? Absolutely. But my challenge as a marketer is to make it slightly different each time I sit down and write that content or produce a video or do an infographic, whatever it might be. There's so many different content avenues. I just think that writing it is probably the most straightforward example.
Sure. Yeah, you can always use the writing as a base, right? And then you could use that as a foundation for like video, audio, or other uses too, right?
So exactly.
Awesome. So, you know, I think we're in Asia Pacific. You know, you're in Hong Kong, and so I think it's a little bit different of, you know, with languages and cultures all throughout the Asia Pacific region. So maybe let's first say, you know, English language, focusing on that to target expatriates, which I think is what you're doing. Yep. Maybe give a little bit of some insights on that.
Oh, I think in Asia, the use of English is a really easy and efficient way to segregate your market. I think even other Asiatic languages in different areas of Asia are really effective at doing this too. So let's say I've got a business in Hong Kong and my market is Thai expatriates. I probably don't want to create a site in English. I probably don't want to create a site in traditional Chinese, because what am I going to generate from those two languages? English speakers and local Chinese nationals. That's not going to help me if my market is Thai expats. So the obvious solution there is, well, why don't I create a site with content about Hong Kong and about my product in Hong Kong in Thai? That's a virtually guaranteed way to make sure that I'm not going to get any noise coming into my lead generation or sales channels. I'm going to effectively only be targeting Thai nationals in Hong Kong. The same thing can apply if I do the site in Tagalog. You know, I'm only going to be targeting Filipinos in Hong Kong. And it's in Asia, because of the multi-language diversity of the region, it's a really simple but effective way to carve out your target demographics and really focus your business on the areas that are going to mean success for you.
Sure. And I like you were saying about, you know, maybe Chinese expatriates living in America, you know, you could really target them well. Maybe give some ideas here.
Well, yeah, I mean, just even creating a website in simplified Chinese. I mean, let's do the basics. Let's set up the site on a U.S. server. Let's make sure that we've done best practice when we're doing our headers and our meta info and all that. But then we create the site in simplified Chinese or traditional Chinese. And again, the content then is about Colorado or California or New York. But I'm not speaking in English. So what that means is that I'm not going to get all the majority U.S. nationals whose primary language is English. I'm really only going to be picking up those Chinese nationals who are expats in the U.S. or maybe first or second generation nationals in the U.S. And when we're looking at the Chinese expat marketplace, especially in somewhere like Canada, they're going over, they're buying multi-million dollar properties, and they've got quite a bit of money to spend. So if that's my market and that's my audience, I want to make sure that I'm not opening myself up to the general public. I want to really concert my efforts on making sure that this customer, very specific demographic, is who I'm getting. And the simplest way to do that, use your language tools. Make the site in something that they can resonate to, build your content in terms that they can understand in that language, and it's a simple formula for success.
Cool. That's awesome. And so I think we were talking before the show, and, you know, so I think there's some people that are tempted to buy a lot of domains, maybe for all these different, especially in Asia, like you have these different cities and countries with microsite campaigns, which might have been working in the past, but I think you know we were saying it's not as effective now. But maybe just give some people some insights on that.
Well, I think to understand why it doesn't quite work, it's probably important to realize why people might go down that route. So the first way is, well, it's sort of the idea of if I'm targeting languages and I'm writing the content, then it probably makes sense to do that with an exact match domain name that targets very specific localities. I can ensure that I might get more space on the search engines. I might be able to get multiple sites up on a ranking page and drown out my competition. And I'm going to eventually try to generate more leads and more business out of that. But there are a couple things that are a little bit flawed with that sort of mindset. The first is that, okay, let's say I decided to do this 7 websites and I'm doing BluePens in HongKong.com, BluePens in Thailand.com, BluePens in Singapore.com, BluePens in Indonesia.com. So I've got 4 different websites now. I've just divided my method, my ability to successfully grow that site by 4 times. I'm having to do 4 times the work to make each one of those domains successful. Whereas if I've got a single site and I'm writing about the pens in Thailand, the pens in Hong Kong, the pens in China or wherever it may be, I'm concentrating all that strength, all my content strength, all my link juice, all my best practice efforts into a single domain. So I'm not dividing everything I'm doing across a large number of domains, which ultimately means that you're going to have a larger marketing team. You're going to have to invest more time. You're probably not going to have so much time to sell your products because you're going to be doing this 4 times. And yeah, the boring stuff makes money, but if you're doing that 4 times on 4 different websites, you really are going to be up against the wall at the end of it. The second thing that I think to realize is that with the way that search engines are going, especially in the last few years, we saw the Build My Rank network, which was essentially a microsite network back in 2009. And people went in there, and it was a quick and easy link. So you submitted content, the content was syndicated across microsites, and that linked back to your website, which helped your rankings. Unfortunately, doing something like that and engaging in a microsite network, you're going to be cross-linking because there's no real benefit to doing it otherwise. And if you're cross-linking, you're then sending a massive red flag to Google saying, well, these guys are really gaming the system. And with Penguin and Panda as the algorithm updates in recent years, that's a very dangerous game to play. Yeah, you could be successful with it, but I'd say that the people who are going to be successful with it, they're going to be marginal. Most people are going to fundamentally cripple their overall ability to grow their business in those areas by going down this route. It might seem easy. It might seem like a good idea, especially when you realize, well, links and content, I can get more links from my own network. I'll put my sites on different servers. I'll write content. It'll be great. I'll cross-link them. My primary site will increase. My sub-microsites will increase. I'm going to be visible everywhere. True, that might happen, but I think that Google, especially with LSI and the algorithm updates, they're smart enough to look at this and say, no, what you're doing is you're actively gaming our algorithm. And they take a very, very dim view to that sort of thing. So you might see yourself with a massive ranking penalty. You might get de-indexed. Whatever is happening, and it's likely that something will happen in that case, it's probably going to be very hard to recover from. So I think best practice in this day and age is to really find yourself a high-level property and focus on that property. There's no reason why you can't spin out subdomains for your regional websites or even do a primary name with a geolocation on the end. So let's say a pens.com.th or a pens.com.sg. Those will then be seen as, okay, this is the localization of that pens page, rather than buymypens.thailand, buymypens. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I hope people are taking note here. And so it actually should be easier than it used to be, right? In a way, it's more, I think Google has updated the algorithm so that, you know, like you said at the beginning, content is king, writing good content, just focusing on really one main authority website and trying to get that out, you know, to relevant websites.
Exactly. I think authority rules. And I think that's something that you've got to understand coming into this. But if you're writing good content and you're being an evangelist for your products, you will get that authority. It's just going to follow. Yeah, you might need to get a link out on a partner website, like an expat forum or something. But your content should shine for itself. And if you will have someone who wants your product or your services. So if you're writing your content on your site and you're trying to create a single authoritative domain rather than participating in maybe some of these gray hat tactics where you've got a primary domain and multiple microsite domains that feed back into the network, that's going to be a much stronger long-term success proposition than maybe winning over the short term and crippling your opportunities down the line.
Clear. Yeah, I totally agree with you. So maybe let's put some, you already gave some good examples like the blue pen, but maybe just even more generally, say there's a listener today that's setting up their business in Asia with a, you know, they're bootstrapping, small budget, maybe let's keep it simple with English language. What would you kind of advise them to get started?
I'd say the first thing to start off with is, like I said at the beginning, understand what you want from your site. It's no good saying we need a website because we need a website. If you're going about it like that, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're not going to get very far. You need to set out from yourselves and your business partner, what do we want to achieve with this site? Do we want to get publicity? Do we want to generate leads? Do we want to educate users about this awesome value proposition and just leave it at that? And once you've established what that site is going to be about, what it's going to do for you, you can then start to look at, okay, do I need to have a conversion field? Do I need to solicit people to contact me? Do I need to have an e-commerce plugin on my WordPress blog that allows people to buy whatever product it is that I'm selling? Those are all fairly simple starting points. And in the WordPress example, virtually free. We can also look at some free open source CMS platforms like ProcessWire, which have a very low setup cost, and managing that is as simple as clicking buttons moving forward. So get your website started, come up with your fundamental idea about what that website is going to be doing for your business. Then you're going to need to write your content. You're going to need to produce whatever content it is that's going to resonate with your audience. I think we gave some good content ideas earlier, so I don't want to go over too much of that.
Sure.
But doing your content, like I said, it's low cost, it takes your time, and you should know better than anyone what it is that you're trying to do for your business. Then you can look at some tools. And I think Google does a really, really good job with this. They're brilliant when it comes to Google Analytics. You know, it's a free analytics suite that you plug into your site, and it gives you all the strength of an enterprise analytics system like Omniture or WebTrend. And there's no cost. You simply insert some code onto your conversion pages or even across the entirety of your domain. And you then take a look at what it is that your users are telling you. Am I increasing users each week? What pages are they going to? And that then starts to inform your business decisions moving forward. So if, let's say, I've got my Blue Pen website and people are going to the page about blue pens in a humid environment, I know that as a business owner, I probably have to be spending more time writing content about blue pens in a humid environment. Why are my pens good in that humid environment? What are people using my pens for in that environment? So I'm letting the audience tell me what they want to see out of my site. And it's free. The analytics startup cost is $0. So if people aren't using that, then they're really missing out. And I think on the other side of that, you've got webmaster tools. And despite its pretty scary name, the concept is the same. You plug in the code to your site, you maybe modify some meta info on the index page, and you're good to go. You've now got a tool that tells you when your pages are down, how many pages you've got indexed, what the major search terms you're showing up for, your improvement in search rankings. This is all really great information that if you're properly understanding what your business is about, you can't actually afford to miss out on.
Definitely.
So I think it's a pretty easy start. The challenge is sustaining it. You don't need to have a marketing team of 25 people. And in fact, CCW's marketing team is one person. It's me. But we've seen concerted growth just because we're putting the best practices into play. I'd also say that maybe take the time to read some quality resources. And there are a lot of free ones out there. The SEO book blog It's free to use. You don't need to register for the website. And Aaron gives some really great insights on that if you're paying attention to it. Search Engine Land. That's another free resource. You don't need to pay for it. It's not expensive like going to a conference or anything. But pay attention. That's where people talk about the algorithm changes. That's where they talk about the bad linking practices, where they talk about Penguin and Panda and what Google's going to do. But that'll give you an edge, because I guarantee you at least one of your competitors isn't looking at that. And yeah. Again, no cost. So there's a raft of tools. And I think once you start dipping your toe in the water, a lot more comes out open in front of you. You kind of have that aha moment where you come to the realization that there's a lot available and you just really have to try and see what works for you.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Michael. Really, I've learned some things, and I'm sure listeners are too. So, I mean, we haven't even gotten you to plug your business. And can you plug yourself, please? Just so hopefully some people could give you some business and maybe reach out to you for more questions or information.
Yeah, I mean, CCW, we specialize in commercial and personal insurance lines. And like I said earlier, we're in it to give the advice that people need. So if you come talk to us and we can't actually do anything for you, then thank you very much for coming to talk to us. And we're really sorry that we can't do anything. We're not going to sell anything that you don't need. We're currently specialized in a lot more of the corporate lines. So your professional indemnity, your director and officer liability, your shareholders liability, your cyber risk insurance. Some interesting products that are only just starting to really hit the market out here in a big way. If they want to contact us, they can go onto our website. It's www.ccw-global.com. Or they can drop me an email at michael@ccw-global.com, and I'm always happy to talk to people.
Okay, thanks so much, Michael, and I appreciate it again.
Thanks for having me along.
All righty.
Thank you for sharing, Michael. Really appreciate it, and hope some of these bootstrapping entrepreneurs and small businesses with tight budgets can learn something and plug that into their business to maximize their marketing efforts here in the complex and fragmented world of Asia. So we have a 5-star review we got. Thank you. Even with the cross-wired interviews, we got one here from Flying Debris in the United States. 5-star saying, real great world discussions, and I found this podcast a few months ago. Now I look forward to the weekly real world discussions from actual business owners in the region. Keep up the good work. So thank you, Flying Debris. And you can use your real names, guys. It's cool for me. So I have, you know, the announcement I mentioned, I'm close to spinning off the mainland China content from kind of like the Hong Kong and Asia content. I think there's just two kinds of listeners on the show. There's some that only care about like mainland China business, selling in China, importing China, which is a completely kind of different world than the rest of the world. And there's others that have no interest to go into mainland China business, and they are, you know, interested in Hong Kong and taxes and accounting and maximizing your like business ROI and offshore and things like that. So we're going to talk about globalization there, international business there. So it might even be some of the same guests where they have maybe both sides, but maybe not always, but I might spin it off and have the two parts broken up. I hope this isn't too confusing for you guys. It's not too late. You can send me some message. Some listeners I talk to aren't enjoying that idea of splitting it. They don't seem to be too happy, but there are others that have seemed to appreciate that idea. So I would like your feedback, and stay tuned for more updates on that. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll see you on episode number 81 talking about China business partners. So the spinoff hasn't happened, so it'll be about my friend Russell Smith, the editor of the book, too, and he will share how he's having a successful China business partner relationship and some of the ways he's done that and negotiated. So although I've said some different things and he has, it's great to have different perspectives and to give you guys some really good experiences and perspectives. So see you guys next week.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.
So thank you, Bruce. I'm glad you enjoyed it. PJ, he's a great guy, and we'll probably get him on future shows. Also, so just a sneak peek for next week, we're going to have digital marketing strategies for the Asia market. People seem to have liked previous marketing topics, so we will get one more for you. And see you next week. Cheers.